Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading from the New International Version. This is God's Word. Beginning in verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've been studying the book of Colossians, a wonderful, rich, short letter that Paul writes to the church in Colossae. And the focus throughout this letter is Jesus. It's again and again throughout the whole letter pointing them to Jesus, because there was a heresy, a type of Gnosticism in Colossae that was spreading and infecting the church and basically calling people away from their focus on Jesus and encouraging them to think that there was this secret knowledge that they could attain and then they would have true spirituality. As if by learning the right stuff or receiving some additional revelation, we could become what we need to in God's sight. And Paul brings them right back, first of all, to the supremacy of Jesus Christ, to who he is, but then showing them that he has done everything that needs to be done in order to reconcile us to God, so that we're not just forgiven, but we are made one with him. And so in light of that now, in light of what he has already discussed about what Jesus accomplished, triumphing over all these angelic and demonic beings, in light of that, this is how we're to live. And Paul has begun that, and we looked last time in the previous verses at some of the things about how we're to live in the power of the resurrection. And now he gets very specific with just little, you might say almost one-liners, just little bullet points, where he's saying these are examples of the kind of thing we need to know. This is not an exhaustive treatment of family and societal relationships, but look at it. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. I was talking recently with some sweet Christian people, and one of the subjects that came up, and I don't think I even brought it up, but it did come up, was the whole issue of egalitarian relationships in marriage versus hierarchical, which are better called complementarian relationships in marriage. And this is a very touchy subject in some places. Because not just in marriage, but in the church and in society, there are a lot of people who bristle at any notion of hierarchy, any notion that somebody ought to be in charge of somebody else. No! We believe that all men are created equal. And of course, we mean by that women as well. We believe that everybody everywhere is supposed to be on an equal playing field. If that notion is distorted, as it is widely distorted in our culture today, you get something that is very reminiscent of what the serpent said to Eve in the garden. Disobey the one who has given you a command, and you can become like him. You can elevate yourself, you can raise your position by disobeying the one that God has put over you, even if it means disobeying God himself. And so it's clear in God's Word, Old and New Testament, that even within the body of Christ, there is such a thing as hierarchy. Not only are we to be obedient to the Lord, but we're to be obedient to those that God has placed in authority within the family and within the church. Now, why in the world is this so problematic? I want to submit two reasons why hierarchy is an issue. Okay? I don't think this is exhaustive, but I think it's enough. First of all, because there is a real force of evil in the world that is at its heart rebellious. Satan got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to be in the place of God. Jesus is the antithesis of that. And we're supposed to have the same attitude that he had, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became a servant. Now, he did this even though he is God. He's not almost God or close to God, and it would have been just a little bit more for him to be God. He is God. And yet, he emptied himself and became a servant, totally obedient to the Father. And that is the mind that is supposed to be in us. So this idea that we want to be in charge, we don't want anybody to tell us what to do, we want to be the boss, that is at its heart a satanic mindset. And that evil still is at work in the world. But there's another reason. And that is that those who are supposed to be in positions of authority can also manifest that satanic mindset by saying to those who are supposed to be under our authority, I am the boss here. You will do what I say. Nobody tells me what to do, but I'm going to tell you what to do. That's just as satanic. If you look at the way that Jesus modeled for us what being the Lord was supposed to look like, he took off his robe, wrapped himself in a towel, and washed his disciples' feet. He said, you call me Lord and Master, and you're right, for I am. This is the way you're to serve one another. Now, if you live in a world that is so full of brokenness that the models of hierarchy that you have seen are little dictators running around trying to be the boss of their universe, it is little wonder that you would be strongly tempted to reject any notion of hierarchy. So, yes, there's a rebellious spirit that is wrong. But there's also a very distorted picture of what rule and authority should be that is wrong. And if we want the corrective to both of those problems, we have to go to Jesus. Because on the one hand, he is the one who perfectly models submission by his complete devotion and submission to the Father. but he is also the one who perfectly models what it looks like to be a God-like ruler by washing his disciples' feet. Wow. Was that really looking like God? Yes. Because what was the reason Jesus came to this earth? It was that we might be saved. We didn't deserve it, but God, seeing us in our brokenness, chose to love us and to become one of us, yet without sin, so that on the cross he might bear the punishment we deserved. That's what God does. That's what God's like. That is the ruler of the universe displaying his glory. You want to see the glory of God? Look at the cross. Look at what he did there to triumph over his enemies. He suffered and bled and died so that we might be made whole. Amazing. So, the antidote to the problem with hierarchy is Jesus. It's Jesus. Once again, what we need in all of this is Jesus. He's the only one who can make things right. He's the only one who really perfectly demonstrates what submission and rule are to look like. He brings the two together perfectly. And so, husbands, if you want to know how you're supposed to rule, do it like Jesus. Wives, if you want to know how you're supposed to submit, do it like Jesus. Look to him. Be like him. Say, oh, I just don't have that in me. Well, we've already established in Colossians the theme verse, if you will, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. You can't do it in your flesh. I know that in my flesh there's no good thing, but I'm not just flesh anymore. Now, the risen Christ lives in me. And so I'm not a mere man. I'm not just human. I'm not just a sinner forgiven. I am a child of God. Jesus Christ is my elder brother. He has made me part of the family, and he doesn't just live with me, he lives in me, and he lives through me, and I am being changed into his likeness. John writes in his first epistle, consider the love the Father has shown us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm on a journey. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived, Paul says in Philippians. I haven't obtained all this, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. And I know that the outcome is certain because God finishes what he starts. And God set out to save me. And he sent Jesus to make it possible. And so because of Jesus, I can now live with confidence, with boldness, because I know that he is the one who makes me righteous. And he is the one who is changing me by the power of his Spirit.
Folks, it's a great privilege for me to be able to come each evening and bring God's word on these stations. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. But if you listen regularly, you know that my life day to day is involved in trying to minister to kids who come from very difficult situations. I want to ask you to please help us. Contact us at wvr.org and find out how you can be part of the miracle. wvr.org. Please help us help these children.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
First of all, then, the issue of hierarchy. Secondly, there's a need to persevere. It's hard to do what we're called to do. It's hard. It's difficult. My experience as a pastor is I hear a lot of pain from a lot of people. And yet in the midst of it, I know that's not the end. I know that's not the way it all has to turn out. That's simply the way it is as we're a work in progress. So, how do we persevere? Apparently this last week I said something that was helpful to someone. It's always encouraging for me when that happens. But I was talking with someone who's just about to get their first child at their children's home. And they said, well, what would you tell us as we're about to go into this? And I said, the children that God will bring to you will at times just melt your heart and cause you to be filled with love and say, I'm so glad I have the privilege of helping this child. And those same children, after you've been with them a while, will cause the realization that they don't deserve all this effort on my part. Okay? This child, the cuteness is wearing off, and you will find yourself thinking, why am I doing this for this child? If you're doing this for this child, you will not have staying power. If you're doing it for them, you will wear out. But I want you to notice the title of the message this morning, which is a line from our text this morning. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. If you are doing it for the child, you'll wear out. If you're doing it for the Lord Christ, He's always worthy. You'll never say, well, this is too great a sacrifice for Jesus. He doesn't deserve it. He's always deserving. He is always worthy. Everything we have, everything we are, we owe to Him. And so day after day, when you feel like I just can't go on, you look to Christ. And as you see Him, He is your Lord. He is the one who gave His life for you. And you say, Lord, it's yours, all for Jesus. That is the key to perseverance. That's how you hang in there. The stuff that we're to do for one another is not that big a stretch, and especially no stretch at all when we realize what's been done for us. And so for the wife to yield herself to her husband, knowing this is done out of reverence for Christ, I am serving the Lord here. I'm doing this for Him. I'm not doing this for this guy with bad breath. I'm doing this for the one who gave His life for me. It is for Him that I serve my husband. It is for Him that I serve my wife. It is a gift from God. And when God calls us into a marriage relationship, our goal must be His glory. So, the need to persevere is met as we look to Christ and realize that we do what we do to serve Him. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that brings the final point. And that is, when you realize He's the one you're serving, service becomes a joy. The joy of serving. All right, I've never thought of combining the idea of joy with serving. I mean, to me, being served is a joy. I like it when a restaurant has good servers, you know. I tip, but I like it when people take care of me. You know, I do. I do too. Okay? I like being well cared for. But I'll tell you something, honestly. If I have a choice between receiving wonderful hospitality or providing wonderful hospitality, I feel better when I feel like I've done a good job of providing hospitality to somebody else. If I have a choice between eating a fabulous meal or fixing a fabulous meal and having people say, "Wow, this is delicious," there is even greater joy in giving than there is in receiving. And there is greater joy in serving than there is in being served. And once again, our example is Jesus. Jesus who came in order to die. Jesus who came because he loved us. And he wanted to please the Father by meeting our need. That's our picture. That's our example. That's the one we are to serve. And so when this third category of slaves comes up, you got husbands and wives. Actually, I left out the children completely. Hopefully you children don't mind that. But children are supposed to be submissive to their parents. I'll touch on that for a moment because we need to. If you remember that you're serving the Lord, then you know that if a parent tries to get you to do something that is sinful, you don't serve the Lord by sinning. If your spouse tries to get you to do something that is sinful, you don't honor the Lord and serve him by sinning. And likewise, servants in this culture who were a huge part of the population and a huge part of the church, Paul writes to them and he says, you are to do what you do for your earthly masters even when they're not looking, and not just with an eye toward favorably impressing them. Do what you do for your earthly masters as a way of serving the Lord, and therefore work with all your might. Do your very best. Folks, the whole notion of slavery in our culture is one that is so hard to talk about and so hard for us to deal with intelligently because it's so emotional. But let me tell you something. Everybody, everywhere is a slave to something. People who are determined to be free, who are determined that nobody's going to rule over them, who are determined that they are going to be their own God, are slaves to their passions and desires. And everybody who is a follower of Jesus Christ ought to be able to describe ourselves the way that Paul described himself. Doulos. We're slaves. All of us who are in Christ Jesus are slaves to our Lord. So we need to stop thinking slavery is a terrible thing. What's terrible is being enslaved by the wrong master. That's what's terrible. But those who are in Christ Jesus have a freedom that cannot be taken away. Paul is writing this in chains. But he doesn't describe himself as a slave of Rome. He describes himself as a slave of God. Don't fall for a false notion of freedom that says, I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to have it my way. No. You pursue that road, you're a slave to the wrong things. But if you pursue serving the Lord Christ with every breath, with every moment, you will know freedom, true freedom, no matter what.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. or contact us on the web at wvr.org.